And this morning, God's Word comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. We're going to begin reading at verse 3 and then read through verse 14, focusing our attention on verses 7 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, what we hear now is God's Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Here we end the reading of God's Holy Word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 61 in the back section. Page 61, on the bottom of that page is Lord's Day 49. And this morning I will read the question. You may respond with the answer. Question 124, what does the third request mean? Well, this morning we continue to move on in our study of the Lord's Prayer, looking at this prayer that Jesus Christ taught His disciples and us to pray. We are at the third of six petitions, the end of the first section of petitions. And we have noticed that with these first petitions, they all focus on bringing praise to God, praising God for His name, praising God for His kingdom, and this morning, praising God for His will. And although all these petitions focus on bringing praise to God, they affect a change in us. When we praise God for His name, we pray that His name will never be blasphemed because of what we do. The petition calls for a change in who we are. We pray for the ongoing coming of God's kingdom. We pray that God might use us in the advancement of that work. It affects who we are. And the same thing as we look at this petition, Thy will be done. It's a prayer that God's will be accomplished, but it affects the things that we do and the way that we live. Praying for God's will, I think, is a very common prayer for us. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done. We pray, God, we want these things to happen if it be Your will. We use that term, that phrase in our prayers quite frequently. What does it mean? What does it mean to pray, Thy will be done? What is the will of God? And how do we know the will of God? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning as we help to pray this prayer, hopefully more knowledgeably, What do we mean when we take the words in our lips, thy will be done? Well, the first thing we have to recognize is that there is a God and he has a will. Now that may seem very basic, but that's where we have to begin. Acknowledging that God does exist, that God does reign, that God does rule, and he has a will and purpose for our lives. I was flipping through the TV channels a while back and came across this movie where someone had been in a serious accident and was in the hospital, and a friend came to bring words of comfort to their friend in the hospital. And the words of comfort they brought was about the accident. I don't know if this was God or fate or angels or chance, but there must be some purpose in all of this. That's no comfort. We don't know if it's God, fate, angels, chance, but there might be some purpose in this whole thing. We recognize as believers that God does exist. Things do not happen by chance. They do not happen by fate. They don't just show up in our lives. But there is a God, and he has a will, and he has a purpose. That's why we can have comfort. That's why we can have hope. As I've said before, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for believers. Believers who recognize God exists and who recognize he has a will. And that will is not simply an involuntary will. That things just sort of happen. Oh yeah, God's in control, but they happen kind of by accident. We have in our bodies what we call involuntary reflexes. Children, since you've walked in church this morning, I suspect you have blinked your eyes probably about 100 times and never thought about it once. That's an involuntary reflex. Now it happens, you're the one doing it, but it's still sort of random. You don't really control that going on. God's will is not that way. That, oh yes, he's in control, he's in charge, but it's really something that just sort of happens beyond him. He doesn't really think about what's going on in the world and in his will. God's will is not involuntary. God's will is not contingent. God's will is not simply reactionary. It is not contingent upon the decisions that man makes. That God reacts to who we are and what we do. As if, yeah, God's in control and he will take care of all things, but he really waits to see what we're going to do first, and then he exercises his will to make everything work out. God's will is not contingent upon what we do or what we think. But God's will is active and it is decisive. It's not involuntary, it's not contingent. God's will is not compulsory. That is, we can't force God into acting a particular way. Sometimes our prayers might seem like that. Lord, we want to do this and this and this and this. Now please make that be your will. As if by praying that, we make God's will compulsory. That which does what we tell it to do. No, God's will is his own will. It is his independent will. We begin by recognizing in this prayer, thy will be done, there is a God, and he has a will, but it is not involuntary, it is not contingent, it is not compulsory. God's will is a perfect will. There is a perfection in the will of God, and we should expect that, because God's will is a reflection of God himself. How could a perfect, holy God have anything less than a perfect and holy will? We are fallen and sinful, and our will is a reflection of who we are, fallen and sinful. But God is perfect, and his will is perfect. And as such, that means something for us when we pray this prayer, Thy will be done. It means that God's will, in its perfection, will never lead us into sin. God's will never lead us into sin. Sometimes we are faced with difficult choices, choices that are forced upon us by our own sinful decisions. And we say, look, now I'm faced with two sinful choices. I guess I better pick one of them, and that'll be God's will. But God's will never leads us into sin. It is perfect. It is holy and righteous as He is righteous. Following the will of God will lead us in those paths of righteousness. So if we are faced with two difficult choices and they seem to both be sinful, then don't somehow pray, well, God, I hope your will is going to be done, and pick one of them. Because God's will doesn't lead us into sin. We confess in our confession, your will alone is good. It is right. It is perfect. It is holy. God's will won't lead us in ways that will be dishonoring to Him. We have to remember that in decisions that we make. When God calls us to use our sanctified common sense to make decisions in our lives, that God's will doesn't lead us into sin. It doesn't lead us away from Him, but rather leads us toward Him. If we are considering a move to a new part of the country, we wonder, is this God's will that we move? And we find there's a place there, and there's a house we could live in, and perhaps a job we could have, but no solid church to attend. I'm still amazed at how many times our spiritual life, our church life, is one of the last things on our agenda when considering a big change like a move. I received an email just in the last month of someone who had moved to a new area with his family, and he asked, are there any solid churches you can recommend in this new area? And so, of course, I recommended, well, check out, you know, United Reformed Churches, check out Reformed Church United States, check out OPC, a few other options, check out these various options. He wrote back and said, well, there's none of these here. And I didn't recognize the area he had said that he had moved to. And so I did a map quest and found out where this place was. And it was a town smaller than Sioux Center. And when he got there with his family, he was surprised that there was no Reformed Church. And so I wrote back again, this kind of correspondence, well, what made you decide to move here? Well, we just felt it would be a good idea. God's will is not going to lead us away from Him. It's not going to lead us to places where we'll be spiritually starved. But it is going to lead us closer to Him. When we consider job options for us, If there are two equally good choices for a job, and they both look like they'll use our gifts and talents, and they'll provide for our families, and yet, if one of them is going to take us away from the regular worship of God without that being a work of mercy or necessity, then we don't have to wonder, is God's will leading me this way? God's will doesn't lead us away from Him. It leads us toward Him. Young people, if you're considering dating someone and they are not a believer, you don't have to wonder if maybe it's God's will that you date this person. You don't have to wonder about that. God's will doesn't lead us into disobedience. It doesn't lead us away from Him, but leads us toward Him. God's will is perfect. Never sinful. And God's will is complete. That is, it affects all areas of our life. It's not just God's will for a little slice of our life, for maybe what Bible verses we read for devotions or how long we pray to Him, but God's will is complete. You might say God's will is sovereign over every area of our activity. God's will affects our relationship with our spouse, how we can do God's will there. God's will affects our relationship with our children or children to our parents. It is complete, it is sovereign, it includes everything that we do. Our relationships with family, the work that we are called to, the schools that we go to. The perfection of God's will includes its completeness and God's sovereignty over every part of our lives. And God's will is constant. It's an unchanging will. And there is great comfort and security there. Sometimes in our homes, we make rules for our children, and we're not always very careful in being consistent in applying those rules. And so one day a child can do one thing and it's fine, and the next day he does the same thing and he gets yelled at for it. But God's will is constant. God's will is unchanging. When God calls us to live in a particular way, we can know that that won't change tomorrow. What is wrong today will be wrong tomorrow and next week and next month, and what is right today will be right tomorrow and next week and next month. The world around us seems to change. Even scientific facts sometimes seem to change. But God's will doesn't. It is constant. The truth doesn't change over time. So it's the perfection of that will. It's an unchanging will for us. God is always faithful to His promises. And that helps us to know how to live and how to walk. God's will is real. God's will is perfect. And God's will is made known to us. God's will is revealed to us. And when we talk about the will of God, as we've mentioned before, we have to recognize that God actually has two wills. God has His secret will. We sometimes call it His decretive will. Those eternal counsels by which God does all things perfectly. And God has His revealed will or His perceptive will. Whenever we talk about the will of God, there's a text you absolutely must know. We talked in Bible study yesterday about texts we absolutely must know. Deuteronomy 29:29, a text we must know about God's will, which says the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and our children, that we may walk in His ways. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we are praying that the revealed will of God be accomplished in our lives. We are not praying about God's secret will. God's secret will be done. That's its very nature. We don't know what it is. It is not revealed to us, but it will be accomplished because of who God is. Now, when we pray this prayer, "Thy will be done," we are praying about God's revealed will and that it be done in our lives. Paul talks about the will of God. He says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, having lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will." God reveals a will to us. And what was the will that Paul was talking about? According to the purpose which He set forth in Christ. God's will is that people come to recognize Him and what He has done in Jesus Christ. That's God's will. That revealed will. That we, in faith and repentance, bow the knee before Jesus Christ and acknowledge Him as our God, as our Savior, as our King. And if you are here this morning wondering what is God's will for your life and you have not done that yet, you have not acknowledged that God has given His will revealed in Jesus Christ for your salvation, then today is the day to recognize and to pray, "Thy will be done. Change me, O God, that I might submit to You," recognizing the glories of God's grace. Paul talks about the purpose of God's will, making known to us the mystery of His will. And in this particular part of Ephesians, that mystery of God's will has to do with the fact that God has chosen to save not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles. God's will was salvation not only for one particular people, but for all who would recognize Him. Paul picks up that theme in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, "Now for this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of man in other generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel." That God's word of grace, that God's word of salvation, is not only for a narrow group of people, but it is for all who call upon Him. For all who recognize Jesus Christ. Not for those who come from a particular select, elite group of Israelites. He says, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ," that's the Jews, "might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, you Gentiles, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." God's will to save all of His people, chosen in Him by election. That's the first half of this text. But God's will to bring all of His own to salvation. And having been redeemed by God, now to live in a way that brings honor to God. That His will revealed in His holy scriptures be more active in our lives. That's what our confession picks up. "Help us and all men to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any back talk." To pray, "Thy will be done," is a prayer for obedience. That God would help us to obey His revealed will. And help everyone carry out the work He is called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. To willfully obey the revealed will of God in Scripture. Sometimes we obey reluctantly. We obey grudgingly. But to pray, "Thy will be done," is to pray, "Lord, change my heart, that I would willingly and with joy follow the path of truth, of righteousness, of peace, of liberty You've laid out in Your word. I would willingly, by the power of that Spirit, sealed with the promise of the Spirit, that Spirit working in me, follow in the ways of God." It's a prayer that changes, that affects how we live. We don't pray, "Thy will be done," and then go off and do our own thing. That's not an honest prayer. But to pray, "Thy will be done," is, "Lord God, continue that work in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have included me through Jesus Christ in the glories of the gospel. And now, through the promise of the Holy Spirit, help me to live and to walk and to act in every part of my life in a way that brings honor and glory to You." It is not an easy prayer to pray, because it affects change in the lives of God's people. But it is a necessary prayer to pray. Left to ourselves, we would not be obedient. We would not walk in the ways of peace and righteousness. But God has redeemed us, made us His own, and taught us to pray, "Thy will be done." May God help us as we take these words on our lips to do so knowing It means that we are praying that more and more we conform to the revealed will of God. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, we confess that sometimes so easily we rattle off the Lord's Prayer without thinking through what we are actually praying. And so we thank you for teaching us what these various petitions mean. We do pray, Lord God, that your will would be done. That will to redeem a people for your very own. That you would humble our hearts before you this morning if we have not confessed Jesus Christ, that today might be the day of salvation. And for those who have recognized the work of Christ, to live out the implications of salvation. In thankful obedience, to give ourselves fully to the doing of your will, a will revealed to us in your holy word. We know we are weak and we are frail. So we pray that you would uphold us and upbuild us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we truly might pray, thy will be done, and reflect that obedience in our lives. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.